Hebrews chapter 7. Sometimes we often wish that we could go to the back to the good old days. You ever feel that way? But I was thinking about that, the good old days. The good old days aren't always good old days. One of the things that came across my mind as I was pondering that is, and some of you youngsters won't even know what I'm talking about, all right? But back in the days when I used to have to prepare my sermons with a manual typewriter, you know, the manual typewriter that you had to push down every key, clunk, 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 and the thing bangs against the roller in the back and it hits the ink pad or ink ribbon there and makes the indentation on the paper. And there's a lot of disadvantages of that. Because when I used to use that kind, there was no preview in the work. I mean, you had to all do it out on paper first. You handwrite your stuff and then you're sitting there clunking away. And if you make a mistake, you're in trouble. There's no easy way to fix the mistake. Not only that, but there's no inserting graphics. There wasn't any key you could push and put in, none of that stuff. There was no variety of fonts. You had whatever with the computer had, or whatever the manual typewriter had on it, that key was the key you got, and there wasn't any change in it. You didn't need any big ones or small ones or dark ones or fat ones. I mean, you didn't need any options. And there was no color text. I mean, it was always just black. That's it. I mean, that was, and occasionally I had, at one point I had a dual ribbon. It had red on the top and black on the bottom. And then you could push a special thing and you can get some red in there. But that was the only options you got. It was difficult. There was no variety in these kind of things. And, you know, so the old, good old days aren't always the good old days. I like my computer now and I can preview what I'm going to say and I can read it all over and move things around. And if I don't like the way, oh no, that should be down here, and I pull it down there. And when I'm all ready to go, then I push print and it prints it and, you know, and it put the graphics in there and picture and color. You know, the good old days, I'll leave them behind. But you know, there are some things in the past that we look at and we think, oh, you know, it was nice back in then days. We had some good old times. But you know, as we look in the Bible now, the people of the New Testament, if they looked back to the good old days, the days of the Old Testament, the days of the Old Testament were hard. The days of the Old Testament, they were under the law. And here in our text, the apostle's talking about the contrast between the Old Testament Levitical system of sacrifices. Now, I brought a couple of things for illustration here with me this morning. This is my altar, and this is my sheep, okay? So there's my sheep and my altar. This represents the Old Testament. Right? The Old Testament, every time they sinned, they had to bring their sheep to the altar, and they had to have this priest sacrifice for them to pay for, to cover their sin. It never really took care of the problem. It just kind of covered it until one day down the road, the Messiah could take care of the problem permanently. And then on the New Testament side, I've got my little cross here to represent Christ and what he did for us on the cross. And he paid the price for us in full. And the apostle here was telling us, he was contrasting the Old Testament Levitical law with that of Christ. And he talked about how Christ was after the order of Melchizedek, and the Old Testament priests were after the order of Levi. Now, for those of you who don't understand that, what it was in the Old Testament, there was a man named Levi. He was one of the tribes of Levi. Remember, you got the 12 tribes, and one of the tribes was the tribe of Levi. And it was God's choice to choose the tribe of Levi to be the priests and the Levites. The Levites were the helpers in the tabernacle that helped the priest. And the priests and the Levites were to live off of the tithes of the people. So when the people would gather their fruits and their vegetables and their produce and their sheep and their cows and all the things as they would get increased, they were to bring a tenth of that to the tabernacle or the temple, and it was to be used for the priests and the Levites to live on because they were serving God there in the tabernacle. That was their full-time job. They didn't have a job outside. That was their job. And so the tithes were to feed them and to care for them. That was the responsibility. That was the Levitical or the Levi priesthood. And then God compares Christ to that of the Melchizedek priesthood. Now Melchizedek, who was Melchizedek? Well, as we read here, he was somebody, nobody knows who he was for sure. Some people think he might have been a pre-incarnate Christ. That's a possibility. Makes some good sense. But at the same time, he's called a man. And it says that Christ was after the order of Melchizedek. Well, whoever this Melchizedek was, he was someone very special, someone very honored by God. He was someone that met Abraham. We read in our text here is how Abraham had, when Lot, Abraham's nephew, had been captured in a battle at Sodom, Abraham took his servants and they went off chasing after the enemy, and they conquered the enemy and brought back all the captives, brought back all the things that they had stolen. And as he came back, he met with this man named Melchizedek, who was called the priest of the Most High God. He was called the King of Salem, the King of Peace. And that's basically all we know about him. There's no history about him. We don't know anything about his ancestry. That's why sometimes people think, well, maybe it was just Christ in his pre-Old Testament form. And that is a possibility. But whatever it was, he could be that he was just a picture of that, of Christ for us, or a type of Christ in the Old Testament. But he was way before the Levitical priesthood. He was in Abraham's time. And then you got Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Joseph's brothers. One of Joseph's brothers was Levi. And then it was years after that that they escaped Egypt, and 400 years after that, that they left Egypt, and it was the Levi tribe, the Levitical people, that God said, all right, I'm going to choose Aaron and his family to be the priest. So we're talking hundreds of years later. So Melchizedek was long before the Levitical time. And he was somehow a type of Christ. And Christ did not come from the tribe of Levi. He was from the tribe of Judah. Remember, the family of David was from the tribe of Judah. And so some of the people that the apostle here is writing to in Hebrews, the Jews are saying, how could Jesus Christ be a priest? How could he be our priest? He's not of the tribe of Levi. He was of the tribe of Judah. And so he's saying here, listen, he was not, it's true, he was not after the tribe of Levi, but he was made after the similitude of Melchizedek. Melchizedek was hundreds of years before the Levitical tribes. And so this was something special. And Christ was the priest after the order of Melchizedek, this unusual man, this man that we know nothing about, this man who had a heritage that were not described in the scriptures here for us. And it says that Christ's priesthood would abide forever. And perhaps that's why Melchizedek, we know nothing about his past, we know nothing about his future, we know nothing what happened to him. He just kind of vanishes off the scene, never hear about him again. And what if he was really a man, God left it that way, so he would be a type of Christ that has always been and always will be. If it was a Christophany, then that would make sense too. But whichever it was, we know that Christ was then an everlasting priesthood. Whereas the Old Testament priests, there was Aaron. And Aaron got old. When Aaron got old, he died. And Eleazar, his son, took over. And when Eleazar got old and died, his son took over. And when his son got old and died, his son took over. And year after year, you know, they would keep doing this. And not only that, but in the Old Testament, we'll find here that these sacrifices, they had to be daily sacrifices. Now you think about your own life. How many times a day do we have to come to God and say, Lord, I blew it again. Would you please forgive me? And when they did that in the Old Testament, they would have to take their sheep down. And I often wonder, did they literally every man have to take a sheep down to the altar every time he sinned against God? Or was it a weekly thing? But he talks about these daily sacrifices. And the priest would take the sheep and they would cut the throat and they would lay it upon the altar. And sometimes it was a goat and sometimes it was a cow. But whatever the sacrifice was, they would sacrifice and lay it upon the altar. And they had to do it daily. But Christ, we find that he died once for all. He paid the price in full. It's finished. He never has to do it again. He ever lives as our priest forever. And these are awesome differences between the Old Testament priesthood and the New Testament priesthood of Jesus Christ. And that's what this chapter is really all about. And we're going to focus our thoughts on the last few verses of the chapter that makes that a clear comparison between the Christ of the New Testament and the Levitical priesthood of the Old Testament. And what I want us to do is I want us to see several benefits that we being under the priesthood of Christ as opposed to being under the priesthood of the Levitical system. Several benefits. And you know, I've gone through this illustration and things like that to help us for our main purpose, and that is none of us can fully grasp what it was like to have to take our lamb down to the altar and have a sacrifice. We just can't grasp that because it's totally foreign to us. We can hear about it, we can talk about it, we can see, but we've never been there, we've never done that, we've never seen that, we've never experienced that. It's past for us. But hopefully you can grasp that a little bit of what was taking place when every time they sinned, they'd have to deal with it with the blood. And the scriptures tell us without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So they would have to sacrifice day after day after day after day after day. The priests would sacrifice the lambs and sacrifice the goats and sacrifice the cows for the covering the sin of the people. And even the priest himself was a sinner. And he would have to sacrifice for himself first before he could sacrifice for the people. And all that ties in. And so with that basic foundation in mind, let's now take a look at some of the benefits of being under the priesthood of Christ. The first benefit I see in verse number 25. Verse 25 says, "Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God, unto God, by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." He is able to save us completely. He's able to save us completely. And Christ has an unchangeable priesthood. The Old Testament priest would change every time one of them would die. There's a new priest come in. There's another new priest come in. Then another new priest came in. And hundreds of them over and over again over the years. But Christ has an unchangeable priesthood. He is our priest forever. He fulfilled that responsibility. He lives forever. He is God. And so he continues on. And it's important for us to see that. Verse number, the last verse of chapter 6 says, "Whether the forerunner is entered, for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest after the order of Melchizedek." So Christ was made a priest after the order of Melchizedek, not after the order of Aaron or the Levitical priesthood. Now, Christ continues forever, forever. He will never die. He is alive forevermore. He is always our priest. We don't have to worry about him retiring someday. We don't have to worry about him dying someday. We don't have to worry about him not being there to meet our needs. He's always there to care for us, to be our priest for us. He is our high priest. And he has an unchangeable priesthood. He saves us from eternal judgment. And he saves to the uttermost. The word uttermost means utterly or completely or perfectly. All the way to the end. To the very end of eternity, Christ will be our sacrifice. Our provision of salvation for us. Whereas the Old Testament, if they were depending on any particular man, whether it be Aaron or Eleazar or any of the other priests, he was only there to meet their need and help them until he died. And once he died, then, well, we got a new guy come in. And then they take over because they were unable to carry on a continual priesthood. And we, as we consider this thought of the fact that Christ is our, saves to the uttermost, completely, what makes his salvation so complete compared to that which was provided in the Old Testament? The Old Testament was only good temporarily. It was only a covering. It did not even take away sins. It just covered their sins until Christ could pay the debt of our sins. It was a temporary sacrifice. And it had to be done repeatedly. Yesterday, I went in and dealt with my sin and took care of it and sacrificed it. But today I sinned again. I got to go again because I sinned again. And so it was a continual process. Whereas Christ, he paid the debt in full. He completely propitiated the wrath of God. Remember that word propitiated. We've talked about that before. He completely fulfilled and satisfied all the requirements by God regarding my sin and regarding yours. Paid in full. He paid it completely. He took care of all of our sin. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2 says that He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Not only that, but He completely saves us from all judgment. Completely. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 reminds us of this, how that He is has completely saved us and met our needs. Then also, it is eternal, and it'll never end. Remember what Jesus said in John 5:24? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth in him that sent me hath everlasting life, and is passed from death to life. It's done. It's settled. It's gone. It's taken care of. It is eternal. It'll never end. And no true Christian, and I emphasize the true there, no true Christian will ever lose his salvation. Jesus said in John chapter 10 that He holds us in His hand and He'll never let us go. But folks, it's important that we make sure that we're a true Christian. Just yesterday, I was in a store and I gave a tract to a lady. I first asked her, you know, if she went to church, and she said, oh yeah, I think she said a Uniting Church or something of that nature. One that I knew didn't really preach the gospel. And I gave her a tract, and she said, well, I think you've given me one of these before. And I said, well, maybe, but it's good. You have a read of it anyway. But as I thought about that lady, I thought, you know, there are so many people in our world today that think they're religious. They think they're okay because I went to church when I was a kid, or I go to this church, or I go to that church, and just because they have some sort of religious ties and they don't believe that there's nothing out there. They believe in God, so they figure everything's okay. They think they're all right. But the scriptures tell us that salvation is only for those who put their faith in Christ. It's not about knowing who He is. It's not about going to church. It's not about being a good person. It's about putting our faith in Christ that saves our soul. And it's important that we make sure. So true Christians will never lose their salvation. Now, notice there again in verse 25, it's at the end it says, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for us. That's a very important statement. He ever lives to make intercession. Intercession means He stands between me and God. He takes care of a situation that I need. We read in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He said, I don't want you to sin. But He says, I know you're a people, you're a human, and you probably will sin. And when you do, we have an advocate. We have someone to stand between us. He is our lawyer. He is the one that comes between us and God. And He is the one that will plead our cause for us. He will help us. He will be there for us during that time. He is our intercessor. He also prays for us on a regular basis. And we read over in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 34, says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Every time the devil accuses me, every time the devil accuses you, if you know the Lord is your Savior, Christ is standing there defending us. He is our intercessor. And the devil said, look at that, look at him, well, look what he did, Lord. Look at what he did. Look at that terrible thing he did. And the Lord is there saying, yes, he did do wrong, but he's my child. I paid for his sin. I washed his sin away on the cross when I shed my blood for him. I paid the debt in full for him. It's finished. I am his high priest forever. It's finished. Now, my sins keep me from fellowship with God. But when I come back to God and say, God, would you please forgive me and cleanse me? He washes me clean and brings me back into fellowship with Him. I won't lose my relationship with Him because He is my high priest forever. Forever. The Old Testament priest could never make that promise. If you brought your sheep in and said, oh, priest, I did a wrong today. Would you please offer my sheep for me? And he does that. He could never say, you never have to worry about this again. Because tomorrow if I do it again, I'm going to have to bring my sheep back again. Because I did wrong again. And so the Old Testament Levitical system could not help us forever, but Christ could. And we are greatly blessed to have Christ as our high priest who saves us to the very end. We need to thank God for that. That is a huge blessing. We don't have to have a stock pen full of sheep. I think I would have been a poor man. You know, I mean, all my sheep, I'd have to have a big flock. Keep them going. Or else I'd run short. But we don't have to do that now. Why? Christ paid it all. That is an awesome blessing. The second thing that I see here as a benefit is that He is perfectly fitting for our needs. Look at verse 26. For which an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. All right, the little word became us. It literally means to be fitting or just right. He was just right for us. When we came to God, we come to Him with sin. We need help. You go to the Old Testament priest and say, I've sinned again. I told a lie. I got to get it right. And the Old Testament priest would say, well, I've done that lots of times too, and I've had to bring my sheep too, but I can't offer, you know, I can't do anything for you except offer your offering. But Christ is able to work in our lives and help us and cleanse us and change us because He is our eternal priest. And He is actually there able to help us because He was sinless. This priest had to offer for his own sins because he was a sinner, just like we were. But Christ never sinned, and He was able to pay the debt in full, and will never have to go back. He'll never have to go back and do it again because He paid the debt in full. He is our Savior forever. I don't know about you, but as we see this here, and it says that He was holy and pure and set apart from sin, He's able to help us because He is clean and pure. And I hate it when I go on the internet, I'm looking for something, I want to learn how to do something. You know, maybe I want to learn how to make something. And I go on and I find a YouTube and says, this guy's going to tell me how to do it. And they start out, and here's the line they started out. I've never done this before, but let me show you how you do it. And I'm thinking, get out of here, I don't want to hear you, you don't know any more than I do. I want someone that's done it a whole bunch of times that can say, this is how it's done, I've done it lots of times, it works every time, this will do it. I can't stand going to those kind of YouTubes where they do this. This is the first time I've ever done this, and I've done that again and again and again. They're just all excited about having their face on YouTube. So they tell you how to do it, and they don't even know how to do it themselves. But we don't have that problem with Christ. When we come to Christ, He is pure. He is clean. He can help us. He knows how to help us because He is pure. And He can make us clean and pure because of who He is. Not only that, He's harmless. It means He's free from guilt. Free from guilt. He has no guilt. And He can, because He's free from guilt, He can make me free from guilt. He can take away my sin and give me justification so that I'm clean before Him and take away that guilt. That is awesome. That is a blessing. The Old Testament priest couldn't do that. He couldn't do that. He wasn't harmless. And Christ is undefiled. It means He's not soiled in any way, not deformed in any way. The Old Testament priest, there were some strict rules about the priest. God gave him a whole long list of, you know, he couldn't be this and do this and this and that, and he couldn't have any blemishes and all that kind of stuff. So he had to, you know, not everybody could be a priest. But at the same time, he was not sinlessly spotless and without any blemishes spiritually. He still had problems, just like I got problems. Whereas Christ, I come to Him, and He always knows how to take care of my problem because He has no problem. He is pure. He is undefiled. He is not soiled in any way. He is perfect before me, and He can help me in every way to make me clean. Not only that, it says He's separate from sinners. When Christ lived on this earth, He never partook in any of the sinful pleasures and lusts of this world. He lived among men, but He lived a sinless, pure life before men. He was not defiled by sin. Now, that's not true of the priests. They were people like us. Sometimes they made mistakes. Sometimes they blew it. Sometimes they made major mistakes. two of Aaron's sons. They were the next in line to become the high priest, and they offered strange fire to God. Nobody knows exactly what that was, but they knew that they were doing wrong, and they disobeyed God, and God struck them dead. And so they had problems like we got problems, but Christ has no problems like that. He was separate from sinners, and he's made higher than the heavens. Doesn't mean he was created higher than the heavens. It means he became higher than the heavens. In other words, he came to this earth, and now where is he? He's returned back to heaven. He's back up there where he was to begin with. The priest, he was an earthly man just like us. But Christ is now on the throne of God, sitting by the side of the Father, and he is there to make intercession for us. He's there to help us. He is a wonderful priest. We have a huge, huge advantage and benefit of Christ being our high priest over having a Levitical priest. A huge benefit. And we need to praise God for that. He was just right for our needs. He was clean. He was pure. He was holy. He was able to help us in all these ways because of who he was. And so we need to thank God for that. Now, the third benefit. The third benefit is that he ended the need for daily sacrifices. Look at verse 27. Verse 27. Who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. He did it once, when he offered up himself. He didn't take the lamb. He didn't say, all right, bring your lamb, and I'll kill the lamb and lay it on the altar and burn it and offer it to God. He said, I am the lamb. I am the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He gave himself. He was pure and spotless and clean, and he gave himself in whole for us, and he took care of that problem. And so there's no need for daily sacrifices any longer. He did it once for all. It's finished forever. And that is a wonderful, wonderful truth that is repeated for us daily, repeated for several times here in the book of Hebrews to help us understand it. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 12 says, neither by the blood of goats and of calves, but by his own blood entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Hebrews 9:28 says, so Christ once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Hebrews 10:12 says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Christ finished the need for sacrifice. He gave the ultimate sacrifice himself. Not only was he if one of these Levitical priests, if Aaron, for example, would have said, I will offer my own life as a sacrifice for the sins of my people, it wouldn't have worked because he was a sinner just like everybody else. He could have offered for his own sin, but he couldn't have taken care of the problem for everybody else. But because Jesus Christ was absolutely pure and absolutely holy, and he was eternal, the eternal God died somehow an eternal death for all of us and paid that debt for us. It's one of the things I often emphasize when I'm talking to the cults, and they try to say that Jesus Christ was not God. He was just a God. And yet they think that he died on the cross to pay for our sins. I said, if Jesus Christ was not eternal, he could not pay for our eternal debt. I had a debt that would last for all eternity. And so did you. And it takes something more than a human to die to be able to pay that debt. It takes an eternal God that was pure and clean and eternal in himself that could pay my eternal debt. And he did it for me. And he finished the need for daily sacrifices. Now, we are privileged to be able to come to God. As 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, instead of bringing my sheep, and people see me walking down the street, pulling another sheep, and he says, uh-oh, he did something wrong again. There he goes. All right? Instead of bringing my sheep to God every day and sacrificing my sheep, now all I have to do is get on my knees before God and say, God, I was wrong. Would you please forgive me? I agree, I did wrong. Would you please forgive me? And he says he is just because he has paid the debt in full. He's not just pardoning it. He's not just saying, well, we'll forget about that one. No, he paid it in full. Every one of my filthy sins, he paid for in full. And every one of your sins, he paid for in full. Therefore, he can say, I forgive. And he will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't know about you, but one of my biggest failures is when I come to God and I say, God, would you please forgive me? And God forgives me. And then I go away fretting about it. And God says, I forgave you. And I need to accept his forgiveness and believe his forgiveness. He said he is faithful. He said he is just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And I've got to believe him. And so when I walk away, I've confessed it, I've forsaken it, and I've given it to him. I need to walk away and say, thank you, God, for cleansing me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for making me new. Instead of going back and saying, oh, boy, I feel so terrible. I did wrong. I wish I wouldn't have done that. And we beat ourselves up over something that he has forgiven. And it's hard. And yes, we need to regret it to the point where we will work diligently not to repeat that again. But we don't need to go beating ourselves up and feeling down and defeated and discouraged and despondent because we've sinned. If we've come to God and we confessed it and forsook it and we gave it to him, it's covered. It's taken care of. That's what he told us to do. We need to believe him. We find also in verse number 28 that it says, and the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmities. The word infirmity there has to do with weaknesses. All right, so these Old Testament priests, they had weaknesses, just like us. Sins, physical weaknesses, problems. They're human. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, alright, so it was after the law took place, Christ came and he fulfilled the law. And after the law, since the law, he made the Son who is consecrated forever. The word consecrated there means to be complete or to be perfect. It didn't mean that Jesus Christ somehow became more perfect than he was in heaven. Not in that sense, but it means that he completely or fulfilled all that God asked him to do. He was perfect in the sense that he fulfilled his mission. He came to this earth and he didn't quit until he had paid the debt entirely for us. It is all taken care of. It is all covered. There's nothing more to do. And you cannot come to God and say, God, I'll do all these penance and I'll do all kinds of things to help you to forgive me. God says, I don't need any help to forgive you. It's paid for in full. All I have to do is confess my sin and forsake it. And God says, he'll cleanse me and keep me clean. That is a wonderful truth. Folks, God has blessed us abundantly. We don't have to bring our sheep to the altar any longer. We don't have to depend upon a high priest that is human like us and his sins like us. We don't have to wonder, I hope Aaron really got his sins right before God so that he can take care of my sins. What if he didn't? Maybe he's not right with God. Maybe my sins won't be taken care of. We don't have that kind of worry because Jesus Christ took care of it in full. It's taken care of. It's paid for. It's okay. He's solved the problem because Christ has fulfilled it all. It's a wonderful truth that we have in Christ. And so this morning, even though none of us have lived under the Levitical law, none of us have ever had to take a sheep to the altar and sacrifice it, I hope that in your mind you'll be able to picture what it would have been like to live under that system. What it would have been like to be there and to have to daily sacrifice to cover your sins and to take care of the problem. And it ought to bring a greater appreciation and thankfulness to God for what he's done for us. And what we need to do today, if you know Christ your Savior, you need to just say, God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for what you did. Thank you for paying my debt on the cross. Thank you for taking care of my soul. Thank you for meeting that need. Thank you for the daily cleansing you give me when I confess my sins. Thank you, Lord, for keeping me clean. Thank you for all these provisions that I could not have had under the Levitical system. Thank you. And the apostle here was trying to help these people that were still teetering between, oh, do we go back to the Levitical system or do we trust Jesus? He said, listen, Christ is far better. Don't go back to that. Don't go back to that. You don't want that. You don't want to keep offering sacrifices. Christ has paid it all. That's all we need. And so this morning, if you have never trusted Jesus Christ, your Savior, you need Him. He's paid it all for you. He died for you. He rose again for you. He gives you life if you will put your faith and trust in Him. And on a daily basis, Christian, we need to come to God and say, God, would you please forgive me? Keep your sins confessed before the Lord. Don't pile them all up. Don't let them go until Sunday and you come to church and say, well, Lord, I guess I got a few to confess here. Don't do that. The moment you do wrong and the Spirit of God says, that was wrong, then bow your head right then and there and say, God, you're right, it was wrong. Would you please forgive me? Help me to do right. Don't let it linger. Get it taken care of so that we can have clean lives. They couldn't do that there. They had to wait until they could drag the sheep down there and kill him. We can do it immediately when we come to Christ and cry out for his mercy. And we need to do that regularly. So let's take some time this morning to just say thank you to God. Thank you, Lord, that I don't live under the Levitical system anymore. Thank you that Jesus was after the order of Melchizedek. He's an eternal priest. He paid the debt in full. It'll never happen to be done again. And I can go to Him every day and benefit from those cleansings that He's paid for. We need to thank God for that.